Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Chancellor of Northern Baptist Bible College, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, as we're beginning our third broadcast in our series, Breaking Out of Spiritual Bondage, we've been talking about two storms in the book of Luke, chapter 8. And as we have probably some listeners that are joining us and didn't get to hear the first two broadcasts, maybe you can just capsulize for us these two storms that we started out with.
Well, the first one is evident on the Sea of Galilee. And Christ rebuked the winds, and the storm settled, and the boat filling with water. So it was a bad storm. The biggest storm was raging within the soul of this maniac. And Christ was heading that direction, and the demons knew he was coming, knew who he was. And we saw this man's condition was unclean. He was unclothed. He was uncontrolled. He was unconverted. Now we want to get into the fact of his conversion. How did this man come to a point of change?
And I think that's really an encouraging thing, because we noted two things in both of the broadcasts that have led up to the third broadcast in this series. One of them was that this really does parallel the condition of our society. I mean, in fact, we talked about those conditions as we looked at this man's condition, and we talked about the fact that, you know, we have an unclean society today, and it is totally unrestrained and uncontrolled.
And believers are strongly influenced by that, and there are many believers who have genuinely come to repentance and faith in Christ who have been recaptured, and they're struggling
with some bondage.
And as they grow in the Word, they're going to see a release from this bondage. Because how will a man person cleanse his way? By thy word. Romans 12:2, that be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He was speaking to believers there, that you might prove it is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So for believers who are listening and say, well, boy, I'm in this situation and I'm really in bondage. Well, number one, examine, were you genuinely repentant and were you genuinely converted?
And that really kind of leads into our broadcast today, because we're looking at the conversion of a man. And as you said, there may be some believers who are in bondage and they don't need to be reconverted, but they do need to examine their original conversion and make sure that it matches what God actually did here in this passage.
Well, when Paul addressed the Corinthians and you see the sins the Corinthians were involved in, he said, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. And there's nothing wrong with the person examining his salvation because he might be in a situation where he made, quote-unquote, a decision or prayed a prayer after somebody, but there was never an acknowledgement of sin. There was never a repentance of that sin, a turning. And that is not a work. Repentance is not a work that brings my salvation. Repentance is an automatic happening that takes place within the soul of man.
It's part of the faith process that we talk about.
It's one step. When Paul, addressing the Ephesian elders, he gave his testimony. He said, I failed never to teach to no one. I preach to all men faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and repentance to God. Repentance to God, because he's the one whose holiness needs to be satisfied. Faith in Christ, he's the one who satisfied the just demands of God. And so we know what everyone who heard Paul, who was converted, including the jailer, when he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, that included the fact that he realized his sin, because Paul says, I told everyone, repent towards God, put your faith in Christ.
You know, it's interesting. This passage is going to give us an in-depth look at a man's conversion. We're going to actually see what it looks like as the Lord interacted with this man who was so unclean and unclothed and uncontrolled and in this horrible condition that we talked about in our last broadcast. So maybe when we get into this, Doc, what happened to this man? How did he become converted?
Well, let's follow the story here. Why don't you read 28 to put in context of Luke chapter 8, and let's go down to verse 33.
When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went out the devils of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked.
So we see something happened here. This man was inhabited by demons. Mm-hmm. Christ comes along. Now, how did this conversion take place? Number one, it was a witness to the character of Christ. What did this man say who was inhabited by demons?
Well, he immediately identified and recognized the true identity of Christ.
Yeah, in verse 28, he said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" Note the names here. "Thou Son of God Most High." And that's quite a recognition from a demon.
And he wasn't mistaken about it either.
He wasn't mistaken about that. And we'll, in one of our other points here, we're going to show a passage back in chapter 4 by the solution to this, because we're going to see what happens. But it was a witness to the character of Christ. That passage back in chapter 4 says, "The Holy One of God." It was the character of Christ that these demons very quickly recognized. That is, it was not some man who was just coming along with a good idea. It was not some cult leader. It was not somebody who had no power, who had no authority. It was the Son of God Most High, the one who took on flesh, the incarnate one, that came to solve problems like you're dealing with here in that life. It's interesting that Pilate's wife told Pilate, "Have nothing to do with who? This just man." When Judas sinned in betraying, he threw down the money. What did he say? "I have sinned and that I have betrayed
an innocent man.
Innocent blood." The one coming to solve the problem is not somebody who is unqualified. He was empowered. Mm-hmm. He is one who has the authority of heaven. He, the incarnate one, took on flesh that they might have life.
So we really do know then, if you're in bondage, that when we bring somebody to Christ, and I know this sounds trite, but he really is the solution.
Right. Very evidently, because he is the sympathizing Savior. There is nothing we face that he has not already faced. Remember, he had already fought the battle with Satan, the 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness. And every single thing you and I will ever face, Christ faced in that 40-day period of time. The devil threw everything at him.
Unfettered. I mean, he just threw it all.
And yet he became our sympathizing Savior. Mm-hmm. We don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. So we see the witness to his character. Secondly, this conversion was without the works of man. How do you think man tried solving this problem? Well, you had a real issue here in town. The kids couldn't go out to play. I'm sure parents would have kept them in the fence in the yard and say, "Don't you go out where that idiot is."
Well, they tried to chain him up. They had all kinds of ways to restrain him and to restrict him.
I've got to believe that there must have been some psychiatrist in town who was engaged to go out and try to talk some sense into this man. You know, do you realize that your behavior is socially abnormal? And I don't think the maniac had to be convinced of that.
Right.
These truths are self-evident. This guy running around with no clothes on the cemetery, it's pretty evident that his, and I say jokingly sometimes, maybe the synagogue had a chariot ministry and tried to get him into the chariot to come on in. But one thing we do know, that these hog farmers who were bootlegging hogs, by the way,
as something Jews, they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah, as Jews, I don't know what they were doing raising hogs. And we do know this, that they did go and chain this man. You can imagine the dads coming home say, "Hey, kids can go out to play now. The problem is solved. We've got this man chained." Next thing you know, in the stillness of the night, ping, what was that? It sounded like a chain break. Ping, there goes another link. And pretty soon, old nature cannot be contained with the chains of the law.
And we try to do that, don't we?
The law is a mirror to reveal our need. It's very crucial to reveal our need, but the law cannot change us. It was without the works of man. Titus 3:5. Why don't you read chapter 3 of Titus? And I think it'd be a good reminder for us in chapter 3 and verse 5 that it is not by the works of the law. People are saying, "Well, we're going to change. We're going to get baptized, or we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to limit ourselves, and we will restrict ourselves."
Well, Titus said this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Yeah, there's the key. So the third thing, it was by the word of God.
Which is what we observed in the first storm.
Yes, the word spoke. Now, if you would read Luke chapter 4, verses 34 through 36, and we see another circumstance where demons were involved, and the same solution came.
And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth, and the unclean spirits come out."
Yeah, it was by the word of God. How were we converted?
By the same thing, by the word of God speaking to us.
Yeah, read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 and following in that context, because we see this again. It's extremely crucial that we understand this.
Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Yeah. What is our conversion? It is not by corruptible seed, incorruptible, which is the word of God that abides forever. Mm. Jesus spoke, and the demons departed. And the authority of the blood of Christ, we see the grace of God at work, and we see the word of God at work. Mm. In the midst of this, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're listening, you say, "Boy, I have tried everything. I've tried works. I have tried being very diligent. I have tried keeping the rules of my church. I have tried practicing all the laws of my church. But there's still no peace. There's an emptiness. I may not be in bondage to the things that are destroying people's physical bodies, but I have no peace." And yet it's simply a matter of saying the word of God gives me the plan of salvation, and I accept God's eternal gift by grace.
Right. And I think that's really the point, and we can end with this, that the same word that stilled the storm in this man and drove the demons out who needed Christ is the word that sustains those who have come to Christ. And if you're here listening this morning or this evening or wherever it is that you're listening, we trust that the word of God would sustain you, and we trust that you would come expecting the freedom that comes as you submit yourself to the royal law of love that came to you from the same Savior who stilled the storms that we're reading about in Luke chapter 8. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.